Hey guys, I cannot believe it's the fourth episode already of The Opportunity Coach. Before we jump into this interview, I just wanted to say thank you. The support I've received since launching this podcast has been absolutely amazing. I launched this podcast with the goal to inspire my listeners through people who had incredible stories of success, mainly because they saw an opportunity and went for it. We're all capable of success, and more often than not, we ourselves are what's in the way. So I hope that these episodes continue to inspire all of you. Life is short. Take action today to leave your mark in whatever industry or cause that drives you. If you don't see the opportunity, change your lens, because it's out there for every single one of us. And with that, opportunity awaits. So off we go. Greetings, everyone. Nicholas Marco here, the Opportunity Coach. Two questions for you. Do you find yourself scrolling through Instagram with complete envy of an incredible backyard oasis? Are you wondering how you can make that picture or video your reality? Well, get excited because today's guest can do just that for you. I've been watching his business truly explode year after year. His real name is Chris Argenziano, but you may already know him as the Pool Boss. He is a premier custom pool builder in New Jersey. He has had clients such as Melissa and Joe Gorga of the Real Housewives of New Jersey, NFL running back Saquon Barkley, and Buddy Velastro from the Cake Boss. Chris, the Pool Boss, welcome. Thank you for joining the pod today.
Well, thank you, Nick. Yeah, it's a real pleasure to be on.
How are you? How's things?
Doing great. Doing great.
Good.
Things are very good. Very good. As far as the season approaching and things going on with the family, life is good. No complaints.
Awesome. So yeah, we're in the middle of April right now. What does that look like if you own a pool business? What does April look like for you?
Well, the interesting thing about April is April showers brings May flowers, right? So it's a lot of rain, a lot of things to contend with as far as trying to get out there and get ahead of things, you know, getting projects started and wrapped up for that matter. But a lot of the time in the month of May, you know, we're working on scheduling with new clients, designing for new clients, getting things ready in preparation for, you know, the months to come. So a lot of that is really focused in the months of April and even into May, you know, and even in the off season too a bit.
Yeah, because with the big dig or excavating, right, as they call it, for, you know, making the big hole for your pool, do you do that in the winter time and then wait come spring, or is that a big no-no to you? I'm curious of how you go about that.
So we really try to, we try to get on top of things as soon as possible because, you know, people want to hit on a lot of these deadlines. You know, it's a seasonal business to the window of opportunity for people to actually enjoy the pool. But a lot of what we do could develop over the winter or, you know, even beginning of, you know, even into the fall or beginning of the summer. But we want everything done, but we want to hit on those certain dates. Like Memorial Day is usually something that people are trying to hit on, or whether it's 4th of July or Labor Day, you know, everyone has that big event or party that they want to be ready for. So in order to achieve that, it makes a lot of sense to try to jump on things as soon as possible. So wintertime, providing the elements hold up and we can do whatever we can do, we try to get as much done as possible.
So if you get a lead for a client today, mid-April, are you able to deliver them a pool this year?
Yeah. Every municipality is different. You know, some towns, there's a little bit more involved, you know, prior to getting there, prior to approvals. Certain towns could take as short as 30 days to turn over a permit. Other towns could take 6 months, you know, and then there's always the things we have to look into as far as, you know, we'll do our due diligence during a design phase to confirm things are co-compliant, you know, prior to submitting. So we can kind of give people the understanding of, look, this is what we can expect as far as a timeline. But, you know, we'd like to get there as soon as we can. And the only way to get there, of course, is unfortunately going through that long stretch of the permitting process. Design, build, you'd be surprised how quick those things come together. But it's truly, you know, the waiting time, you know, to get there as far as permitting and such that really, you know, puts the delay on things, so to speak.
What's been the longest that you've ever had to wait? Was you said 6 months just to get a permit?
You know, I wish I could say we're only 6 months, but there has been circumstances where people, you know, are dealt with. you know, because when a homeowner buys a home, you know, they don't know a lot of the things to look for, unfortunately. They don't know, you know, that they need to consider things that, such as, like, are there wetlands involved? Mm-hmm. Terms like impervious coverage, like how much patio space or foundation of home or driveway do you currently have? And will the town allow you to, you know, cover a certain percentage of that with additional things like a pool or a patio and such? But when we were dealing with a certain situation, I'll never forget chatting with a family, and I told them, you know, not to give up hope. There were a lot of the contractors that turned it down just because they knew the stretch. They knew the task that was at hand. Mm-hmm. They had a wetlands issue. And wetlands could be, when you have a wetland situation, the setbacks vary. So it could be, for an example, you may have to be 100 foot or 300 feet off the wetlands in order to be able to put your pool in. And sometimes that'll bring you like right up to the, pretty much right up to the house, right? So dealing with things like that are difficult, but that particular project, it took them 2 years before we could actually get started.
Wow.
So, but we got it in. They didn't lose faith. They had faith in us to see things through. And we were able, you know, long stretch, but I have to tell you, the amount of excitement and joy that it brought to that family, it was just overwhelming. It was just incredible. Great, great experience. It really was. But I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad we were making through all that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you bring up a really important concept that I think home buyers need to remember when they're envisioning their dream home. You know, I've now really just been fascinated by real estate, and I'm always looking at homes that are available. And I tend to go into the zoning of the town pretty quickly in my evaluation of a property. You know, I could think of a really, really cool home that I didn't even put an offer on because once I saw the survey and the amount of wetlands that were on the property and the zoning, which didn't allow for much structure relative to the size of the property, as much as it was like, how could this be? The reality is it could be. And some towns just really do make it difficult to develop this vision that you may have for a property. And I think you do bring up a good point to make sure you do your research before you buy a home. Otherwise, be ready if you want to make that dream home happen to do all of these, jump through all these hoops and push for the variances, which is not fun. But it sounds like you are the company to make it happen, you know, and you've been through quite a few different experiences, which I think are invaluable because homeowners, they just don't know.
Right.
It's intimidating to go through that process.
Sure. And even the build of a house, like even when you're building a house, you know, sometimes the intention is to put a pool in, right? And as they're building and designing at that stage, you know, they may not share initially with their architect or their engineer, you know, our intention is to eventually put a pool in. And even during design or build, you know, they'll maximize the space or the coverage, impervious coverage with the dwelling, not allowing anything left. So, you know, you're absolutely right. When they come to us early enough and we can kind of guide them into the right direction, it's certainly best, you know, for everyone.
So do you find yourself now, maybe a little bit more than in the past, people consulting you when they're looking to build a new home?
Yeah, a lot of times they do. And I find myself working with more and more architects and engineers, even landscape architects will bring us in to execute on that, you know, on that part of it. But yeah, they're constantly picking the brain, you know, they're looking for information, and homeowners are always eager to know what they can do. And years ago, it wasn't always, you know, a pool would be a nice thing to have. But now a lot of the times people are like, we sold our house.
It's a necessity.
Yeah, we have to have that pool, you know, so we had to find the home that we could put that pool in, you know, so they'll reach out, you know, early enough, hopefully, and we can guide them through that process.
Yeah, so I bought my home in 2017, and we still to this day absolutely hate our kitchen. And it was like a contentious topic between me and my husband, but I'm like, just trust me here, trust me. And I can tell you the amount of memories and moments and just good times that my backyard has created for my family and friends, like that would have never been something that we could have mimicked through just renovating the interior of our home. So you're in a really cool business because, as you know really well, the value that an amazing backyard adds to people's lives it's hard to kind of put a number on that. And, you know, I think that's probably really fun for you.
Sure.
Seeing like you've created now this oasis that now people enjoy for years to come and make great memories.
Yeah. I mean, it's just become such an extension of your home, right? I mean, that outdoor space, because you're not limited anymore. You know, when I started in the industry 30 something years ago with my family, we were plotting on a piece of paper where the pool would sit and submitting that to the town, and they were reviewing in that and they were okaying it. Now there's so much more to it. You know, we're designing an entire space based around, you know, fire features or outdoor kitchens and pavilions and pergolas. And I mean, it gets really exciting. It gets really exciting to unlock the full potential of your backyard. And you know, a big misconception is a lot of people feel as if it's something, and we all want to do it all at once, right? But sometimes, you know, if you come up with a master plan, you know, I always believe preparation is key. You can prepare for a lot of these things prior to actually having to execute, because it's not always in the budget to do everything at once, you know? So yeah, the beauty of the design phase and, you know, that part of it is probably the number one reason why I ventured off onto my own, you know, and didn't stay with the family. Other reasons aside from that, you know, working with family has it has its challenges, right? But the biggest thing for me was, you know, there's just so much more we can do here. You know, it's not just the pool. There's just so much we can do in that backyard. So that's why I love it.
Let's dive into what you just said, though, about wanting to really be on your own and an independent, you know, owner in this business, because of wanting to be of a service that's not just putting in a pool. So did you have a vision for where a pool company could go that maybe just didn't align with members of the family?
Yep. For me, at an early age, I saw, as things evolved, how things were changing. And working with a family who had a successful business for many years, they were the driving force in our industry. As a matter of fact, so many different pool companies or pool builders out there at one time or another had worked through my family, you know, either under me or under, you know, my father or my uncle, or, you know, through that business, you know, at some point or time. And I had a lot of ideas, you know, for the newer technologies to introduce, not just the newer technologies, but just how to do things differently, just always looking to make it better, easier. And at times, you know, when you're younger and you have someone who's been doing it a long time, they feel that their way is the best, and they stick to their guns, you know, old school Italian family, you know, they stick to their guns and they don't really like change necessarily. And that may still work for them, but I really felt that I could bring things to another level, and I was passionate about it, and I ran with it. And the most innovating thing for me was meeting my wife, who really, you know, supported me prior to us getting to the level we are today, and just giving me the support to run with it is what really largely contributed to a lot of my success.
We talk a lot about on this podcast already the dynamics of working with family. I can relate to that. My father actually was very, like, sometimes I'd be like, do you not want me to be a part of the company?
Right.
Because, like, you're not pushing me at all to stick with it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, should I take this personally? But it feels good to be sitting where I am today because it didn't come with any pressure. I actually chose the path that I'm on. You never want to be second guessing decisions that you made because it was due to the influence of others. You want to like truly be on the path that you chose, mm-hmm. you know? So I can tell you, I am sitting here today where I'm at because I chose to be here. And it sounds like you are also an example of that, which is you're very successful. So let's not ignore that you did go on the path that you felt was right for you. But your wife, I didn't realize until today, looking at your website, that your wife, Terry, is involved with the business. So how did that come to be? Explain to me that.
Yeah, so Terry is essential to our business. Her background is, for years she was an educator. And chatting with her family and looking back to, you know, they reminisce on when she was younger, and they talk about how ever since she was young, she was always very She was always very structured and organized and detail oriented. And she does so many of those things today and to help us, you know, stay organized and grounded in the business. But when we had met, you know, I wasn't on my own yet. You know, she was kind of the person who I told her we were dating. It was early on. We were dating. And I was like, you know, I think I want to leave where I'm at. I think it's time to leave where I'm at and take a jump into something on my own. And her, along with a good friend of mine, John Fuda, who is like family to me, those were the two people that kind of pushed me in that direction, you know, telling me, John was like, you know, look, you, this is an industry you know, it's not something you should be afraid to do. Spread your wings and fly and go with it. And Terry was there every step of the way. I remember we were, you know, I had a presentation to give to a landscape architect who had come to me and mentioned that they wanted to do a pool project. And Terry and I were dating at the time. And I remember I didn't have any literature. I didn't have anything to present to them. I was completely unprepared. But the very next morning, I had to go into their office and deal with, let's call it the president and the vice president. And the vice president I had dealt with for years. I never really dealt with the president of this company all that much. So I knew that I had that meeting, and we stayed up literally till 5 o'clock the next morning, did what we had to do, threw some information together. I shot into their office, and I remember sitting across from them at a desk. They started going in on some of the questions about, you know, this pool that they wanted to do, this project. And I looked over at him. I said, gentlemen, before we start, I just want to be very transparent and let you know, I no longer am affiliated with the prior company I was affiliated with. I'm now looking forward to move forward, you know, on my own. And I'll never forget, the president of the company leans over in his chair and he says to me, thank God, because so-and-so was an asshole. I hope I can say that. And I was blown away. I was like, wow, this is incredible. Like, just like all the tension and the pressure, just like, whew, like right out of my body. I'm like, wow. And they were like, we really like working with you. That's the only reason, you know, we spoke with that other company or dealt with that other company. And it was just like a huge relief just to hear them say that. And from that first project that Terry and I, you know, she helped me with, she had to take a step back because she was teaching at the time. And for the first number of years, you know, I was on my own and she was kind of working in the background of things. But from that first project, I'm not ashamed to say it. There were times I'm like, I really questioned, you know, where this was going to go or where things would go, you know, altogether, ultimately in my life. But that first project, after completing that, and just reinvesting into the culture of what we do and, you know, Terry, you know, backing me up, things just elevated and took off from there. So, you know, two people I really credit that to. And actually, ironically, John Fuda is the one who introduced me to my wife. So go figure. I own it more than one way. Yeah.
That's awesome. And, you know, there's so much potential in this world that's not tapped into because people don't have a story like you where someone in your life just gave you that extra push.
That's all
you needed, right? You just needed that little bit of push to give you the confidence to just go out on your own. And, you know, it's pretty amazing when you reflect because, you know, that was how many years ago?
Oof, 13.
13 years ago.
I think it's about 13 years ago, yeah.
And have you had one of like the best years you've had in your business recently? Like, is it up, up, up? Have you had some downturns? I'm just curious.
You know, it's always elevated every year. A lot of that, you know, some companies would credit to COVID, but for us, I don't think that was really it. I just think reinvesting, you know, into your company and following through. And for me, I surround myself with the New York Yankees payroll, right? But I consider myself in the World Series every year. You know, that's the key, that you have to surround yourself with the best. And my wife, hands down, is clearly the best in my eyes. But her, along with everyone else, is vital to the success of the Pool Boss. So I value them a lot, and we treat them as if they're family, and we try to compensate people for when they do good. And it's a really good environment, you know, and without that, we'd have nothing, you know? So it's really important.
It is so true to just get the best people to really drive you to new levels of success.
Sure.
And how incredible that you and your wife can work together and be such a dynamic duo here. How do you stay in your lane and she stays in hers? Because I feel like that is definitely, you know, an ingredient necessary to manage the personal versus the professional dynamics. Was that a learning curve for you? Do you feel like you were pretty organic to learn that?
I don't know if it was organic. I would say, yeah. You know, we had to definitely establish like whose lane is what here. And sometimes we drift into the other lane, like, let's be honest, you know, but for the most part, you know, she'll say it a lot. You know, I am a visionary. I'll come up with a plan or an idea, and she'll be the one to actually execute. So, and she, you know, she's great at that. You know, I come up with something I think would work, and we chat about it. And at first, there might be a little bit of, well, you know, but at the end of the day, she always sees my way. No, I'm kidding. But she she tends to go in the direction of what I'm leaning towards, and then, you know, she helps me execute it. So it's a great team effort. It really is. I owe a lot to her, and again, to, you know, everyone that I work with. I constantly am, you know, taking in feedback from them on how we can do better, and that's really important too.
So about how many people do you have on your team to run your company?
We have 37 employees.
Wow.
The thing that's a little different with us is that in the pool industry, a lot of, you know, even competitors and things, they'll subcontract large portions of it, where we do things internally. So it does extend the payroll quite a bit. You know, you're not paying per project. You know, these are people that have families that you have to make sure they're able to support throughout the whole year. So that, you know, that's important. Comes with a price tag, but you know what? We're able to maneuver. We're able to execute on timelines. We're just able to be that much more effective. So, you know, a large part of the success, again, is not actually, you know, subcontracting things out. Like, we do all of our own excavation. You know, we dig our own pools. So the machinery is all of mine when we come in and we dig things. So, you know, we're not at the mercy of waiting on someone to show up or to free up because they're working, they're digging foundations for a home, or they're digging for a bunch of other different pool companies. You know, we're able to commit, weather permitting, and get there and get started, you know? So really helpful to be able to do that.
That's a huge advantage, yeah. Though it can be more pressure as a business owner. It really does allow you to just have more control and more flexibility, especially when it comes to scheduling, because you own the equipment. Is there any aspect from start to finish where you do have to sub out any of the work, or it's really all in-house?
So when it comes to things outside of the pool, just to be able to keep moving things along, you know, when it comes to things, for an example, as an outdoor kitchen or as a structure, accessory structure, like a pavilion or pergola or stuff like that, you know, even landscaping, you know, when it comes to the plantings and things, we want to lay the whole thing out. We want to design the space, but, you know, it gives the homeowner flexibility too. They may not like the eye color of someone that I bring in. I don't know, for whatever reason, they may not want to use somebody that I work with, or they may have a relative that's in the industry. Who am I to say you have to use the people that I work with? But I prefer it because it's definitely easier because I can help manage and have more control. I think the name says it all. As the pool boss, I want to be able to control everything if I can. But yeah, I mean, they have the flexibility. You know, once we design that space, they have the opportunity. I introduce them to people that I trust and I network with. And then they have the opportunity to also price it out with someone else, you know, and go in that direction as well.
So what's kind of hot right now? What are the latest trends if you're developing your true backyard oasis?
Yeah, when it comes to mind, you know, I think a real game changer is the accessory structure. You know, it's not just the home. It's like another area outside of that, you know, whether it's a pavilion or a pergola or a pool house, you know, a complete house with bathroom and areas to cool off and areas to dine and, you know, fireplaces. And, you know, I mean, it's endless. It really is. But I would say an accessory structure really defines the space. if you have the room for it and have the budget for it, it's pretty awesome to have. It really is. Because who wants people in and out of their home using the bathroom? You know what I mean?
Oh, you literally just hit the nail on the head. Because I will never forget, I was about to embark on our entire backyard project. And I went to visit a friend who has an amazing backyard. And it was like light bulb went off when he was like, if you have the ability to have a pool house that has a bathroom, I have people over at my home every weekend in some capacity during the summer. And they don't actually go inside my home because I have a pool house with a backyard. And so, yeah, it's a game changer. It really is. Yeah. So, you know, regardless of you using one of your go-to contacts or they use somebody else completely, you have to figure out how to make this pool work with all the other moving parts so that it's not just some random pool house in the back corner that doesn't actually speak to the flow of where the pool is, right?
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, laying it all out, the design portion of it, I can't stress enough. It is so vital. It's so important, you know, because the last thing you want to do, I have moved so many times over the years and I worked with endless contractors and I would bring them in at times and say, this is what I want to do. And at times I wish they would ask me my opinion on what, you know, or I would ask them rather what their opinion is of what they should do. And I'm not shy, you know, in giving my opinion, you know, just on what I think would work. Of course, I'm not going to force anyone to do anything, but I could just say, look, personal experience. My kids vary in age. Your kids are very similar in age. You know, here's some of the things you want to consider. You know, do you want to take up your entire shallow end with, let's say, a sun shelf, right? You know, you want to keep some space open so they have some room to play games and stuff like that. Just little things like that. And if they say, no, we absolutely want the sun shelf, of course, we'll build them the sun shelf, you know, where they can set up the chase lounges and everything else. But you know, it's really important that, and that's a big part why nothing against anyone in sales, you know, but with what I do, I just feel very strongly about, I don't have any salespeople and I have a large team. Like we have a design department. We have a permitting department that, you know, handles all the permitting. We have construction. We have a service department. We have all these departments, but the one thing I won't steer away from is engaging and meeting my client and really listening to what the needs are and understanding, you know, why they're doing this project and ultimately what the goal is, right? What do they want to achieve out of this? So with all of that information, I'm able to kind of steer them in the right direction on what I feel is best. And ultimately they make the decision again on, you know, what they feel is best for them to do.
It was fascinating when I went through trying to even find a pool company that made me feel like they even cared at all about this vision I had for my backyard. I mean, it was so hard to even find a pool company that would even contribute to that part of the discussion. It was very often, here's a photo of where this rectangle is going to be plopped into your backyard. And I was just like, I was just so like, just my whole excitement of the project was just, it was just such a buzzkill. So do you naturally have this discipline to be able to like say no to a business opportunity because you know you may not deliver on the product? Do you just naturally have that discipline? Because I find that to be really impressive to just be able to say, you know what, I might be able to make this happen, but it's going to maybe be a little bit too much stress for me. I know my bandwidth and, you know, I like to maybe enjoy life full circle and I'm not going to maybe take on something that maybe just isn't worth it for me. And I don't want to disappoint the client. Is that in your nature or did you learn that from experience, maybe taking on more than you could manage or just you didn't have the wherewithal to know in advance, this is probably not a good client to take on right now?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, transparency is the most important for any relationship. And that's what this is. Because with us, it's not just, you know, we build your pool and we go away. We don't service pools that we don't build. We only service the pools that we build. So my client ends up, you know, staying with us for the lifetime of the pool or as long as they live at that house. So to not be able to deliver on a timeline, if there's even a question or if someone has unrealistic expectation, you have to be transparent and say, look, I can't deliver on that. And I think, you know, in any business, that's important. And those are the types of people that I like to network with, you know, those type of companies that do things outside of that, outside of what I do. And that's why, you know, I have these strong relationships with them because they're equally as transparent as I am. So I think that's really important. You hit the nail right on the head, for sure.
Yeah. A lot of bullshit in construction. A lot of bullshit.
And you know what? It makes it hard for us, you know, as a contractor in the industry. Look, I am not perfect. We can screw up. But I want you to go to bed at night knowing that the pool boss stands behind everything that is done in your backyard. We will always do right by you. That is the most important. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. You know, that's just the person. That's the person that I am. You know, so and that carries into my business.
Yep. I always try to tell customers, I will never promise to be perfect, but I promise you no one will care as much as I do to fix it.
I love that. So true.
That is the secret sauce, is because we do genuinely care when we screw up to fix it. And I know that is totally your philosophy as well. So at some point, you probably had a light bulb moment or maybe just saw the impact that social media had on your business. I saw it happen as it was happening because all of a sudden now I see all this content hitting and you are the guy. But where did this start where you realized, let me put some content out there and be the pool boss on Instagram and on YouTube?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because in my younger years, when working with my family 7 days a week wasn't enough, I was actually in the nightclub business, which is crazy. So largely a lot of what I've learned as far as marketing stems from that, if you can believe it or not. You know, years ago when I was younger, we didn't have Instagram or even Facebook or TikTok or any of those things. We had to do it the old fashioned way. We were literally putting flyers on cars about events that were coming up and stuff. I don't know if you remember getting those flyers on your car, but yeah, it was me. Sorry. But anyway, but I just saw how things had evolved into, I'll never forget. We would have, you know, clips filmed of certain nights, you know, in some of these clubs, these nightclubs, and how we would use that marketing material to draw people in. So I figured, why not with this? And I reached out to the company at the time that was doing a lot of these videos for the nightclubs. And I grabbed them in. I said, look, I want to do what you did there in my market. You know, can we do something here with swimming pools? You know, or let's, as a matter of fact, when I left initially, I went on my own, the first project I did at that time, I did not have a photograph to display. I didn't have a single picture to anything to show. So the very first video that I made was actually from start to finish, one of the most challenging sites I had ever worked on, which happened to be a mountain. It's still on my website today, where we had to chip out or carve into a mountain to accommodate this pool, the structure. And it showed from start to finish what to expect in the process. And it had like awesome music in it, like 80s rock, which if you're into 80s rock, it was really cool. Like, you know, Van Halen, Money for Nothing, you know, Dire Straits, all that stuff. And it showed like how the pool was constructed. And from that one video, that's the tool I used to actually market myself. And we showed it, you know, when I would present in front of people. Eventually we showed it on, you know, Instagram and some of the other areas. And we saw the draw, you know, we saw how people gravitated to it. And we just ran with it from there. I just kept going with it from there, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it amazes me in 2024, still how many people in construction, when you ask them to show their work, that it's like, it's actually like, oh, let me get back to you. Let me pull a few photos. Like, it's not something readily accessible to just show off what you just did. You know, it's on their phone. Uh-huh. Here's a little photo. Like,
It might be their first
professional photo.
It might be their first, Nick. There you go. Not to begrudge anybody. Everyone has a right to start somewhere, but not with you, right? So that's the thing, you know? Yeah.
No, but they're, you know, that's the old school way. Sure. But, it's just, and there's nothing wrong with it. But the reality is you have to adapt. You have to evolve. The consumer is getting smarter. Yep. You know, there are expectations now. Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I just wanted to end on is, you know, you have a really passionate philosophy about using your business to help others. And so could you just talk about some of the things that you've done over the years? You know, anything that has been a highlight in, you know, owning your business to help an organization? And what inspired you to help that specific organization?
Well, you know, a lot of the times you'll meet with, a lot of times you'll meet with people and they'll share with you things, you know, they open up to you and they'll share with you things just by chance, you know, things that have happened to them or things that they've had to deal with. And I don't know, as a human being, I feel like we all need to do our best effort to help, right? Do whatever it is that we can do to contribute. We've always donated to charities on behalf of individuals, but one particular situation comes to mind where, you know, I met with a family had reached out and I had built a pool for, you know, a friend down the street. And it was a referral. And they reached out and they kept rescheduling and canceling and all these things were going on. And I reached out to the person who had referred us. And I'm like, you know, what's going on here? Why do they, you know, this is like the third time that they actually canceled. And they disclosed to me that their youngest child was going through a chemotherapy that had developed cancer, leukemia. So my heart broke as a parent, you know, as a human being. I asked her, I said, look, do me a favor. Get me in contact with this family. I really need to meet with them. And I did. And I'll never forget meeting with this child. And, you know, at the time, just looking at this child who was going through so much, you know, at that point through chemotherapy, the hair was gone, you know, and I just, my heart broke, you know, and I never forget turning to them and saying, I'm going to get this pool done for you. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to get you this pool done for nothing. And the most amazing part of all of this, you know, is when I turned to the individuals involved, when I turned to the manufacturing side and I turned to distribution, even my own employees, no one wanted to get paid. No one wanted a dollar to work on that site. No one wanted to get paid to contribute to, you know, the product that we needed. And we put this pool in for this family. And the story ends well. This child's doing great, who has grown up into a wonderful young man. And just to see what they've been able to, you know, that space, you got to remember, when you're going through that sort of thing, you can't venture out. You know, your immune system's broken down. You have to stay at home. So I just felt like if we could deliver like something like that to them, you know, and it's something that, you know, I hope one day chatting with my kids, it makes them proud, you know, and gives them the influence to kind of do the same thing, you know? So if we all could just give back like that, it's the most rewarding thing in this industry that I've ever done. So thank you for bringing it up and let me share.
Because, oh my gosh. Yeah. How long ago was that?
I want to say it was in 2016 or 17.
Wow.
Around then.
It's an incredible story. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
What a memorable experience and what a way to drive you to see the impact that you can make as an entrepreneur well beyond just being a successful, profitable business. And it's important we share those things. And it's important for you to make it known that that happened because it's inspiring for others. And just by sharing it today, I think that you'll maybe give that other entrepreneur the nudge or the reminder that what are you doing to give back? We all have to contribute, right?
Agreed. Oh yeah. Look, we are all put on a certain platform, whether on a large platform, small platform, whatever we can do, you know, to just give back is really important. It really is for all humanity, for sure.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure to have you on our podcast today. If you do not follow @ThePoolBoss on Instagram, you got to do it. It's just fun to see the next big oasis that he's building. Chris, thank you so much for the time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No, it's my pleasure. Appreciate the time, you know, and look forward to chatting with you again soon.